Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Older, and I mean older, brothers here at Car Talk Plaza.
You remember the guy, Captain Bob?
No.
No. He wrote in when we were coming up with sure signs that it's time to trade in your car.
Oh, yeah.
And he sent us some really great ones.
Yeah. I remember, like the check thine engine soon. Torch keeps flaring up.
That's him. Well, he must be like me. He doesn't have much to do. Because this week he sent us sure signs that Tom is getting too old to be on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does the list include that you have trouble fitting your ear horn under your headphones?
No. He left that one out. But he has a few good ones. Reasons that I am too old to be on the radio. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here you go. Recently received birthday wishes from Willard Scott.
You have to be at least 100 to get those.
Remembers the Alamo. No, he actually remembers the Alamo.
Like, was there, right?
That's good.
It could be. You didn't tell me about that.
He often asks why FDR's fireside chat wasn't on again this week. Oh, yeah, it hasn't been on for weeks now.
Oh, no, don't
I don't
worry.
Know what's going on.
I'll check your crystal radio for you.
He keeps coming in with food stains on his toga. And that wound he got in that nasty duel with Aaron Burr keeps acting up. Well, thanks, Captain Bob, from Orcas Island.
Exactly. Look, right if you get work, Captain, because you need something. I think he's captain of the SS... You know, at the moment. Anyway, if you have a question, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Heather. I'm from the Berkshires, Western Mass.
Hi, Heather.
Oh,
the Berkshires.
That's the mountains, right?
They're our version of mountains.
Oh, yeah. They're not real mountains?
Mm. No, they're not real mountains. There's no real mountains in Massachusetts.
They're like acne.
Just a little...
There's a little bumps.
A little
bump. You know, like razor burn. Anyway, Heather, what's going on?
I have a 1997 Volkswagen Cabrio.
Uh-huh.
It has a GTI engine in it.
Okay.
That I replaced a few years ago.
Because you burned the other one out?
I burnt the clutch out, so then I just replaced the whole engine.
Oh, really? That's a novel approach. I hadn't heard of before. But
It's actually a used engine. But the problem with the car is, after it is warmed up, and I've been driving it for a while, and I come to a stoplight or to a position where my car is idling, the engine shakes, like literally shakes under the hood and shakes the car. And the RPMs jump from like somewhere between 0 and 1,000 pretty rapidly back and forth.
Oh, so it's going boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels like it's going to stall, exactly.
Yeah.
And does it run okay at high speeds?
Absolutely. Everything else about it is great.
And what do you do when it starts doing this up and down thing?
I give it a little gas.
Give it a little gas.
So you're in neutral. This is a stick shift.
Yes.
So you sit there and you feather the gas a little bit.
Yep, in neutral.
Yeah.
When you do that, can you find a position for that gas pedal where it will idle smoothly at, say, 900, which is about where it's supposed to idle?
I don't know. I guess so.
You guess
I usually just give it a little gas, like vroom, vroom, and then...
And by that time, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would be hard to find that point. I mean...
Unless you were looking for it.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no adjustment for the idle. I mean, back in the old days, even Volkswagens, all vehicles, had a screw that you could turn to change the idle speed, but no cars, to the best of my knowledge, have those anymore.
Yeah, we were looking for like an idler valve or something and couldn't find one.
Well, but it's very likely. I mean, these engines are famous for developing vacuum hose leaks,
okay,
especially in the crankcase ventilation system.
Okay. Does it affect performance? Because my gas mileage is way down, like almost to 20.
Oh, my God. No, it wouldn't affect your gas mileage, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
Well, unless the vacuum leak were someplace where it could fool the computer into thinking that somehow or another the mixture was too lean and the injectors then were called upon to put in extra fuel.
Okay.
So it's possible. But I think you should take this to a shop. I hesitate to ask, how long has this been going on?
Actually, not that long. Only
July?
Like maybe a few months.
A few months.
Few months.
And during that time, you haven't had it in for an oil change or any
other? No, it's had an oil change. It's gotten new tires and a front end alignment.
Oh, so you went to Quickie Lube for the oil change, and of course they wouldn't have looked at that.
Wally World, yep.
Yeah, Wally World. You went to another place for the tires, and of course
they wouldn't have looked at it.
So you need to go to your regular guy.
Or gal, whoever. Regular guy is pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, that's the guy you're going to see, and he'll figure out that you have a vacuum leak, and he'll fix it, and you'll be good to go.
Great.
See you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227.
That was an easy one.
8255. It's good to start off easy, isn't it? To keep you awake, baby. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray. This is Margaret from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello, Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
North Carolina.
Yes.
What's going on, Charlotte? Margaret. What's going on, Margaret?
Oh, yeah. Her name could be Charlotte, couldn't it?
She could be from Margaret, North Carolina. There probably is such a place.
Well, I just want to tell you, I enjoy your show, even though I don't care anything about how cars work. I just want them to work.
Well, we don't care either.
Evidently, we don't.
But we have a 1999 Chevrolet Venture van, and it has, I think, about 185,000 miles on it. And it makes a noise for, I think it's been over a year. It makes a noise that sounds like it's in pain.
Oh. When does it make such noise?
Well, sometimes when I'm driving it, sometimes when I'm just sitting still, sometimes even when the car is off. You know, I've been driving it and it's off, and it'll make this noise. Do you want to hear what it sounds like?
Oh, I sure do. Oh,
and it'll make that noise if you're stopped?
Yes.
And even if the engine isn't running?
Yes, sometimes.
Sometimes. So you can be awakened from a sleep. It's parked in your driveway, you're sound asleep, and you hear the plaintive cry of your 99 Venture van going, trade me in!
That's right. It sounds like it's coming from the passenger side up on the dash, and sometimes... You know how a typewriter used to sound without the bell when you pushed it over to start on the next line?
What's a typewriter?
Yeah, it would click, 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 click. It would click, 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 right? When you slid
it. Well, it sounds like it kind of goes back to a certain point, and then it starts that noise over again.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
So has anyone heard this besides you?
Well, yes, lots of people. My husband thought maybe the shocks and struts needed replacing, and he did that. And then he thought, well, maybe it might be the motor mount.
Well, if it's making the noise with the engine off.
Right.
There ain't a whole lot of things that can be activated with the key off.
Make the noise one more time. I have to get into this.
Okay.
All right. Okay, all right, that's good. All right. Stop. Well, here's the three possibilities.
You got three.
Okay.
Well,
good.
I got four now.
Oh, you're four possibilities.
I hadn't thought of a trapped squirrel until just now. it's not a creature. It could have been a power antenna, but I'm willing to bet that this vehicle doesn't have one.
No.
It's in, okay. So that we cross that off.
So that's
okay.
Not.
So the trap squirrel is gone. The power antenna is gone.
Yeah.
The third possibility was that it's part of the emission control system. But here's my number one choice.
Go ahead.
Drum roll, please.
Drum.
I think the problem is in the heating and ventilation system.
Ah, I like it.
I think there's a door there. You know, that does this sound like a creaky door trying to move? Like.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those doors are operated by either little vacuum motors or, in some cases, with this thing, I think, maybe even a little electric motor. And if that door is getting stuck, it's possible that
it's trying to close or open.
Right. It's trying to
close. Even after you've shut off the key.
Right. But it can't because the mechanism is stuck. And then over time, it just finally gets to move because there's enough spring tension on the thing that... it'll close.
Here's what you got to do.
Sleep in the car.
No, not exactly, but almost.
Have your husband sleep in the car.
The next time you shut off the engine, immediately lie down and stick your head underneath the dash on the other side.
Okay.
And see if...
And when the neighbors go by and see your feet sticking out the window, they're all going to call 911.
No, but see if you can hear it from down there.
Okay.
And it might lead you to something.
You might be able to reproduce the noise if you were to put the key in the on position without the engine running,
mm-hmm.
and move the heater controls from defrost to heat and then to vent and just try all the different combinations.
Okay.
And you may be able to reproduce the noise. And if you can't, ask the repair shop that you go to take the glove box out so that you can get a straight look in there, and maybe even you'd be able to listen and hear it more loudly when it's doing it with the glove box removed.
Okay.
And just take all that stuff in the glove box and throw it on the floor. You don't need any of that stuff anyway. Good luck, Margaret. Keep us posted.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Talking with you.
Bye-bye. Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Time to turn the leaf blower on the seats of the Fiat?
Well, yes, but it's also time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they followed our advice.
And more importantly, how the physical therapy is going. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Jeff from New Jersey. Remember Jeff?
No, remind me.
Jeff called us because his Isuzu Trooper suffered from a mild case of depression at his second home in the mountains. Here he is.
I remember this.
The problem is, when I do drive it up there and we leave it overnight, I will often find the clutch pedal all the way down to the floor. And this doesn't happen anywhere else.
Raccoons.
When you say up there, it's up there because it's upstate, or it's up there also because it's on a mountain as well?
It's about 2,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, okay. You silly guy. What the heck are you doing up there? So this clutch pedal that has sunk to the floor,
mm-hmm.
is it in colder weather that it's done this?
I wouldn't say it does get colder up there at night, but this is in the middle of summer.
This is in the middle of summer.
And then what happens?
I pick it up with my toe and I pump it really hard, and eventually it comes back to life.
And this never happens
happens when I'm back home. So what I'm asking, I guess, is there a restorative fluid that I could put in my clutch master cylinder?
Well, yes, banana puree, is. Maybe.
You know, there are a lot more smoothie shops around these days. It's never been easier to add banana puree to a transmission than it is today.
did we give him a non-fruit-based answer, or what?
Master cylinder.
Oh, yeah.
Though the only explanation we had for why it only happened in the mountains was the colder nights.
All right. Well, yeah, I think I do remember this call vaguely. Let's
see
how
we did. I do, too.
Jeff, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, look, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And that the answer you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the real estate listings we sent you for sea-level condos by the Jersey Shore.
That's correct.
All right, what was it?
It was indeed the master cylinder.
No kidding!
Well, you know, I mean, your description didn't leave any other explanation possible.
Yeah.
True, and we all knew it was going to be the master cylinder. What you
said.
So
what'd you call us for?
We didn't know why, though.
What you said, you said two things. You said it was going to cost around $150. It cost exactly $150.
Yeah.
Okay. You said I could do it myself.
Yeah.
And I indeed did it myself.
Ah,
good man.
Okay. However, you didn't say how long it was going to take.
Oh, no, we didn't want to discourage you.
and you didn't tell me how cut up and scarred my hands are going to get.
Yeah, getting that little 10-millimeter fitting off the master cylinder ain't easy. Yeah.
That one wasn't too bad. It was the two bolts on the...
That hold it to the firewall.
That hold it to the firewall, which are inside the car.
Yes. Inside the car, exactly.
At what point in this whole procedure did you start cursing us? Did you take our names in vain, as they say?
Well, I've got an idea for your Shameless Commerce division. How about a T-shirt that says, I took Tom and Ray's advice on Car Talk and survived?
Great idea.
But yeah, I did do it, and I guess the feeling of accomplishment is outweighs all the suffering I went through.
Yeah, but
we still don't know why it happened up in the mountains.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
Well, it might have something to do with reduced atmospheric pressure.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Only thing that's going on up there.
And it could have been right on the edge, I guess, of being bad.
Yeah,
I mean, it just there was something that was pushing it over the edge, whether it was the drop in atmospheric pressure or maybe just a slight drop in temperature. Who knows? Dew on the grass, anything could have caused it. If anyone knows, I'm sure we'll get email about it.
Yeah. But the new master cylinder works great. It actually shifts better than it ever did.
Great.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Jeff.
Okay, thank you.
See you later, man. Bye-bye.
Well, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right. Hey, do you happen to remember anything about last week's Puzzler?
Could you maybe hum a few bars?
No. But last week's Puzzler revisited that famous one-horse town we know as One Horse, Nevada. Do you remember One Horse?
Yeah, which half of the horse was I?
The half with the tail. Anyway, the puzzle was about the town of One Horse, which had one doctor and, of course, had three people in need of emergency surgery.
Shot glass from throatectomy?
Could be, but we'll be back with all the details and more of your phone calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
One day, light reflecting through the rear glass caught a blanket on fire while I was in class. An alert campus cop rescued my guitar, but the back seat was pretty much burned and charred. All of my friends loved to give me the needle for driving around in a barbecued Beetle. The driver's side was broken, and this can't be beat. If you sat down hard, you'd end up in the back seat. If you turned on the high beams, the wipers came on. Every other day, something else would go wrong. When I bought it, I thought it was a really good deal. But this Beetle was a disaster on wheels.
And even though the lost city of Atlantis decides to stay lost for a few more millennia, whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's Puzzler. Mm. Now, some of you may remember a Puzzler from a long, long time ago that took place in a little one-horse town called One Horse, Nevada. Mm. And that one was about the town's two barbers and someone looking for a haircut. But this one is about the town's one and only doctor, Dr. Ruthless.
Yeah.
All at once, I don't know how this happens, by some kind of cosmic intervention, I guess, three men come into the hospital in need of emergency appendectomies. Mm. But unfortunately, Dr. Ruthless has her left arm in a sling.
Ah.
Her shoulder got dislocated in a barroom brawl. One Horse is a tough town, by the way. Anyway, she can still operate using her right hand to wield the scalpel and her left hand to help put on and remove her surgical gloves.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Because she forgot to order supplies, there are three people who need operations and only two clean surgical gloves available. So you have a one-handed doctor with two gloves.
Yeah.
And how could she operate on her three victims, I mean patients, without risking contamination to either the patients or herself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's how she does it. With the help of her left hand, even though it's in the sling, she manages to put a surgical glove on her right hand, which she's going to use to operate with.
Got it.
She takes the second surgical glove, puts it on her left foot. No. She puts it over the first glove. So now she's wearing two gloves on her hand.
Yeah.
She operates on patient number one.
Yeah.
Okay. And she now peels off that first glove.
Yeah.
And turns it inside out. Leaves it aside. She does the operation on patient number two.
Yeah.
Okay, with that glove, the glove number one that she put on.
Yeah.
And then for patient number three, she takes the glove that she had removed first and puts it on now inside out so that the two contaminated surfaces, the one from patient one and the contaminated surface from patient two are touching.
That's good.
And the outside of that glove is now perfect for patient three. By the way, none of them lived, but I thought it was a nice story anyway. So who's our winner?
Ah, the winner this week is Dana Kraft from Las Vegas, Nevada. And
well, that's very close to one horse, you know.
It's very, very close. For having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Dana is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a pristine copy of our new book, Ask Click and Clack.
Are there non-pristine copies?
Well, I used a couple of them to shim up my workbench and a few more to mop up a little oil spill under the Fiat. But don't worry, they're good as new.
Well, if you say so. Well, a copy of Ask, Click, and Clack is yours, Dana, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Congratulations, Dana.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new Puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, you know, might have been one of her husband might have been one of the victims.
Oh.
We'll have a brand new Puzzler That's coming up in the third
the
half
answer.
Of the show. In the meantime, if you've got a question about your car, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-228-255. We'll try not to make it any worse. Oh, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Dana. I'm calling from Newark, New Jersey.
Hi, Dana.
Dana.
What's up?
Okay, about 2 weeks ago, I was parked at a Dunkin' Donuts, went to go turn my car on and leave and realized that I couldn't get out of park.
Uh-huh.
So I called AAA, and the guy came and showed me, like, he removed a thing from the gear shift.
Mm-hmm.
And took a screwdriver and basically showed me how I can depress a button in there with a screwdriver.
Yeah, almost every car has that. It's called a shift lock override.
I like it.
You like
yeah,
it.
It's a good name.
So did you go out and buy yourself a screwdriver? Is that what
I did. I'm basically surviving on this right now. And my question is, I mean, I'm a student, so I'm a little hesitant to go. Like, I don't have a lot of money to spend. Is how long can I get away with this?
Well,
forever.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't lose the screwdriver.
Well, actually, that thing is made that you can put your key in. You don't put the key in to turn it, but you use the key as if it were a screwdriver. And by depressing that little mechanism that's in there, you unlock the shifter mechanically.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Otherwise, it's done electromechanically. When you step on the brake, there's a switch that closes. It operates a solenoid that actually moves a pin that allows you to move the shifter. But in the absence of that, you can do it strictly mechanically, because what's wrong is that the switch, I believe, attached to the brake pedal isn't working
anymore.
Okay.
Or the solenoid that's in the console isn't working. So how old a jalopy is this car?
It's 2002.
2002?
Oh, practically brand new.
My brother has milk that's that old.
Well, I actually Googled it, and apparently it's pretty common on my car.
Yeah, what kind of a car is it?
It's a 2002 Ford Escort.
An Escort. Okay, so you decided you don't want to fix it, and I don't think you have to, necessarily. I, from a safety point of view, nothing could work better than this, because there's nothing to break, really.
And no one's going to steal the car.
Right, exactly.
Right, so these guys will get in it. They'll smash your steering column, they'll break the ignition, they'll get a screwdriver in there, they'll start the thing up, they won't be able to shift it out of park. Perfect, I love it.
I should market it, patent it and market it.
Yeah. And
yeah,
you'll probably catch them, because they'll be sitting there trying to figure it out.
But you're good. You're not gonna harm anything, and you're not gonna break anything else. You can continue doing this forever.
Oh, that's fantastic!
And,
really,
and this is true for anyone that has a modern car that has a shift lock, that you can always use the mechanical override for it if you get stuck. Of course, it becomes inconvenient to use it all the time. It's more convenient to step on the brake pedal. But
you
do what you think is best, Dana.
Okay.
And when you go to sell it, you'll have to fix it, because nobody will want to buy it like that.
Yeah, no, I'll just drive it into the ground.
I got the feeling. All right. See you later. Thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-7825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Ed. I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Hi, Ed from Evansville. What's going on,
Evansville.
Man? Yeah. Southwest corner of the state where Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky all come together.
Oh, yeah. The golden point there.
Yeah.
I have a 2003 Mini Cooper F.
Uh-huh.
And I have about 32,000 miles on it. Over the past 6 weeks, there's been this odor coming out of the vents, and it smells like vinegar.
Oh, that's not good.
No, my daughter, who I take to school every day, she's 14, she says it's She can't stand the smell. She loves vinegar and salt chips, and she says it's ruining them for her.
Yeah. She has to take her to school with her head that hung out the window.
I've had it to the shop. They've looked at it. They've checked all the fluids. Everything's fine. The car runs great, and nobody can explain why it smells like vinegar.
Now, so obviously they've examined the windshield washer fluid, and they've determined that that isn't it.
Yeah, I've smelled the various. I've, you know, looked in the crankcase. I've tried to smell the various fluids, and none of them smell like vinegar.
When you, if you open the hood and run the engine,
uh-huh.
And with your head stuck under the hood to see if there's, for example, if there were an oil leak, but oil leaks don't smell like vinegar.
Nothing smells like vinegar.
I know what it
except
is.
Except vinegar.
No.
You got it?
I do. I don't know how, when, where, or why. I think it's animal urine.
Huh?
I think some animal has squatted on your cowl, and somehow something has gotten in there. Whether it's a
really?
Creature that's actually gotten into your ventilation system and is decomposing.
Well, a dead animal smells different than this.
Yeah, you're a country boy. You know what dead animals smell like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he certainly does.
I do know
what
a dead animal smell like, but this is not a dead animal smell.
It's not a dead animal smell, but could it be urine?
I'm actually a doctor, and I know what urine smells like. This isn't urine.
Well, human urine smells very different from, I mean, every animal urine has a different odor, right? And mine has a different odor, too, depending on what I've eaten.
But vinegar?
That can change from day to day.
Well, that gets the issue of what my wife thinks the odor actually is, but that's a whole different issue.
So is there consensus that it is that it is vinegar?
Well, between my daughters and me, yes. My wife is not so convinced.
What does she think it is?
She thinks it might be one of the occupants of the car rather than the car itself.
One of the occupants?
Namely me.
Namely you. So what's the rationale? I'm sure your wife is an intelligent woman. What's the rationale behind her explanation?
I don't know that we want to get into that.
No, we probably don't.
Well, you might not want to get into it, but she might.
Well, that might be the case. I don't think we're better on the family show.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee, vinegar.
Perspiration can smell vinegary.
I mean, it's clear, like, if you opened up a bottle of vinegar, it smells exactly like that.
It really does.
Yeah, no, the smell of vinegar is
pretty,
yeah.
Pretty distinct.
It's pretty
it
distinct.
It really is.
Do you have to run the blower to get the smell?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So if you just drive the car and you don't run the blower.
You don't smell it then.
It's possible that somehow or another the insulation used on the blower motor windings is overheating and causing the smell.
Okay.
I would contact the dealer and ask them if they've ever heard of this or seen it. Because
okay.
There may be something called a technical service bulletin.
Okay.
Did you take it to the dealer to investigate
no.
this? You did.
The dealer's down in Nashville, Tennessee. I took it to a shop locally.
Yeah, I think you might want to take it to a dealer or at the very least
okay.
call them. I wouldn't be surprised if it only occurs, but I did like the animal urine thing, though. I was hot on that for a while.
Well, the only problem is we keep it in the garage.
Oh, okay. No, then it's the blower motor.
Okay.
I'm more convinced of it than ever, and I think the windings, whatever material they're using, you know, to insulate the windings on the motor, that's making that smell.
Do you want me to say the dead animal when I find out what it actually is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good luck, Doc. Keep us posted.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. Now, I wonder what his wife meant that she thought it.
Never mind.
Go
there.
We should have explored it.
Don't go there.
I want to talk to his wife. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray. This is Sandra from Star, Idaho.
Hi, Sandra from Star, Idaho. How are you?
Star.
It's a little teeny town outside of Boise. I'm actually calling you from work, and I'm in Boise right now, but
oh,
I live
are.
In
sounds
Star.
Like you're hiding out. Sounds like you're hiding out in the ladies' room, actually.
It does.
Not a chance. No. I'm in a meeting room at work.
Oh, it sounds
okay.
like a closet
like you're in
to
stall
me.
Number three. Anyway,
what's up?
Well, I'm calling you guys about car seat comfort.
Uh-huh.
I currently have a Toyota Highlander, and it's a 2003.
Okay.
I like the car. I love the reliability. I expect it to go to 200K.
It will.
But it's not as comfortable as my old Isuzu Trooper. I had a 96 Isuzu Trooper that had car seats like you wouldn't believe. Just comfortable.
That might have been the only thing that it had that was any good.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, these seats were that comfortable. You could go to the Oregon coast and back.
Yeah.
Well, my Toyota's comfortable, but not anywhere near like that. And if you've ever sat in an Isuzu Trooper, you'll know what I'm talking about. When I get another car, what's going to be as comfortable for the seat-wise as that Isuzu Trooper was? Have you guys ever sat in one?
An Isuzu Trooper? Many. But yeah. Never. I've never driven to the shore in one.
Well, I mean, any long distance.
Yeah.
And I've never been impressed with the comfort of one.
Well,
but how
really?
Would I know?
But you know what? There are certain seats which suit certain people.
No, they suit certain people's butts.
Yeah, your butt, exactly.
Not talk about my butt.
Well, we haven't seen your butt, but I'm assuming it can be suited.
Yeah.
And there are some vehicles, really high-end vehicles, which I find very uncomfortable.
Well, you got a butt.
Never
mind.
I got a twofer. but no butts, no puns
butts
intended. But
right.
But there are some seats that suit me very well, and I've driven, you know, $80,000 Mercedes that whose seats I didn't like, and yet I would agree with you, Sandra. The best seat I've ever had in any vehicle, bar none, was my '87 Dodge Colt Vista, which by every measure was a cheap piece of junk.
Oh yeah.
But what made that seat comfortable was that it was like sitting at my kitchen table. My legs weren't straight out; rather, they hung down.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
Right. Yeah. So what you got to do is bolt a kitchen chair, and you may be able to improve the seat you have, but with the addition of cushions or telephone books.
Or telephone books.
Then you're back to losing comfort and, you know, the seat part of it. You
have
know?
You tried just that thing with the beads?
Oh.
No.
That ain't
not
going
to do it.
Well, you know, the only solution then, and you cannot know this about a car, sadly, until you've bought it.
Yeah.
Right? When you go for that 20-minute test drive with the salesman.
How many different kinds of cushions are there? I mean, there's a pillow, for example.
It's got to be the car seat. I mean, because the car itself has got to be designed to fit in there properly. Like my Trooper, the whole thing that you guys were mentioning about being able to sit up and having your legs straight down, not poked out in front of you, which is the reason I drive an SUV. Because you can't find a car that doesn't force you to have your legs way out in front of you and put the pressure on your back.
Yeah.
And you can actually tell some cars on that 20-minute test drive. I've driven a couple of different ones before I bought the Toyota.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of them that I got out of the car after 20 minutes and my back was crippled.
I could not stand up.
Well,
I'll tell you, the one car that I've driven recently, which may fit the bill for you, is the Honda Element.
That is a cool-looking car.
Not really, but it might work for you.
I'm an engineer. I think the Element looks really cool.
It is a cool-looking car, and you might like that seat because
it's different.
That seat is the closest one, and the only other one I liked was the Mitsubishi Outlander.
Yeah.
You might want to look at the only thing you can do is, obviously, there's no solution to this. You're not going to put the beads or the phone books pillows or any of that stuff. You could perhaps get someone to lift the seat up by putting spacers between the seat and the floor of the vehicle.
I like the idea of getting a new car better.
Yeah, I would give a serious consideration to the Element.
I will check it out.
Check it out. You may love it.
Well, hope for the best here then.
All right, we are.
We wish you the best, Sandra.
Thank you much.
All right, see you later.
Bye. All right,
bye-bye. All right, we have to take a little break before the new puzzler.
Yeah.
But before we do, I want to remind people that if you ever miss our show unintentionally.
Right. Most people miss it in a premeditated fashion.
Right. But if you miss it some weekend and actually want to hear it, you can always grab a free podcast at cartalk.com.
Which reminds me, we got a letter here about that very subject written by someone named Bob Woolley. Can I read it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Guys, I think your self-deprecating comments about the value of the podcast miss an important point.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
With the radio show, I can only avoid listening to it for the one particular hour a week that my station airs in.
Right.
But with the podcast, I can download the program and then enjoy the knowledge that I'm avoiding it all week long. It's fantastic. Don't sell yourself short.
I can't tell.
Isn't that something?
To burst the buttons on my vest. I feel so good.
It's really great.
Look, when we come back, you won't be able to avoid the new puzzler, which is from my ballroom dancing series.
And
we'll have lots more of your car questions, so stay tuned.
We'll be back in a minute.
Just another old car forgotten. All the rubber is rotten.
levers don't work, and Granny says it's mine for nothing. It's an easy decision, won't be collision. Light's all's a must, and the bottom has some rust, 'cause it's just another old car forgotten. All the rubber is rotten, the wipers don't work, and Granny says it's mine for nothing.
And even though the black-eared Mantella thinks, you know, extinction might not be all that bad whenever Ed hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler, which I did mention was from my ballroom.
You did mention that. It was confusing to me, but I'm ready.
No, you're going to love it. And this was sent in, a suggestion by Dennis Vogel. And he says, this is when the Puzzler gets back. It's sorry, but back from vacation. Well, it's been back a long time. I just didn't get around to using Dennis's Puzzler yet. Sally invited 17 guests to a dance party at her estate in the Hamptons, her lavish estate.
Oh, yeah.
And she assigned each guest a number from 2 to 18, keeping one for herself. And it stands to reason, if you were the hostess, you'd keep number one, right?
Yeah.
At one point in the evening, while everyone was dancing, Sally noticed the sum of each couple's numbers was a perfect square. So everyone's wearing their number on their, you know, clothing, you know, either on like dancers often do. Yeah. You see those dance competitions.
And she noticed that every couple,
when you added up their numbers,
Added them up, okay,
was a perfect square. So everyone's wearing their number on their clothing, like dancers do in, you know, dance competitions.
Yeah.
And if you added up any couple's two numbers, they added up to a perfect square. And a perfect square is a number whose square root is an integer. So 4, for example, is a perfect square of 2. 9 is a perfect square of 3.
Okay? Yeah.
16 is a perfect square of 4. 25, you know, so, right?
Yeah.
And here's the question. It might seem a little obtuse. What was the number of Sally's partner?
Really? Isn't that too simple?
I don't think so. You don't. No. Well, she could be paired up with number 3.
Add them up.
She could be paired up with 3. She could be paired up with 8.
Yeah.
She could be paired up with, you know, 15. She could be paired. Who knows?
But you do.
I do. Now, if you know the answer, write it on a Vespa Gran Turismo 200 scooter. With a 4-stroke, 4-valve, 200cc liquid-cooled engine, pressed steel monocoque chassis, die-cast alloy wheels, retractable passenger footrest, of course, vintage-style blue light dashboard, hydraulic disc brakes, and a Range Rover to cart it around in during the Boston winter, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Our Fair City,
Matt 022. 38.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Susan Reed from Oviedo, Florida.
Susan.
I have an Acura RSX. It's a 2005 silver. I hit a huge pothole a little while back right after a tropical storm with the right front tire. And my husband and I saw that the tire rim was bent about an inch up, and that was okay. But the thing is that when I started turning the wheel to leave, it started making a thumping noise. And by thumping, see, I think it's like bum, 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 and my husband thinks it's a boing, boing, boing.
So you had a boing, 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 bum, 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 bum.
Okay, you got it. And here's the thing, too. My husband is a shuttle engineer, so he's used to listening and hearing, but I distinctly think it's a bum rather than a boing.
Okay.
And when does it occur?
It happens mostly like when I'm in a more of a parked type of situation and I'm trying to turn the wheel. And it could be happening when I'm going faster. I just don't hear it.
So let me get back. This wheel, this damaged aluminum alloy wheel is still on the vehicle?
Yes, it is.
And is each bum with a continual turn of the wheel? In other words, you turn the wheel a little bit, you get one gunk. You turn the wheel a little more, you get another bump. Turn the wheel a little more, you get another one, bump.
That's exactly right, yep.
I think you have a broken spring.
A spring?
Yeah. I think the spring is sprung. Yeah, I mean, you must have hit this pothole with pretty good force.
Yeah, it must have been a tremendous pothole. It was like an event.
Yeah.
Spring has sprung, the grass is riz. I wonder where the flowers is.
Okay.
It's a little poem I
learned second grade.
High school.
That was lovely.
Well, I mean, the first thing you have to do is get this thing someplace where they're going to take the tire and wheel off.
Okay.
And then I think when they do that, it'll be immediately obvious that you have a broken coil spring. And the bing, boom, bum business is coming from when the two broken pieces are interacting with one another.
Okay.
And it's always coming from the same side of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yep.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Now, you got to expect when you hit a pothole, how fast were you going?
Not that fast. Maybe like 20, something like that.
And how big was the pothole, if you had to guess its depth?
No, I don't know. It was extremely dark. I would say it was at least, I don't know, 5-6 inches.
Were you having an argument with your husband at the time?
Does that have anything to do with it?
It might have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
We were actually leaving a party.
Ah.
One of you didn't want to be at?
No, we were having a great time, and it was very late.
Why are you trying to make this into a...
I'm trying to determine how fast she was driving.
We weren't driving that fast. It was still a residential street, but it was right after one of those big tropical storms, so I think that's what happened.
Yeah. So you hit this pothole, you broke a spring, and the good news is nobody got hurt.
That's right.
But the car got hurt, and it's going to cost you a few hundred bucks to fix this.
A few hundred bucks?
Well, plus the wheel and the tire, $1,000.
What?
$950? No. We have a special today. $895 if you buy the fuzzy dice. Yeah, it's gonna be in by the time you replace the tire and the wheel and the spring, you're gonna be in that vicinity.
Okay.
Good luck. Do it, because the tire is dangerous.
Is it okay?
I mean, the rim could be responsible for all of it, but I rather doubt it. I think because once you get moving, it's all right, huh?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I think you have a broken spring.
All right, sounds good.
See you, Susan.
So much, you guys.
Thanks
Take
for your
care.
Call. Bye bye.
Bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brooks. I'm in Los Angeles.
Hi, Brooks.
I've got a 2001 Mercedes E-Class. It's an E320.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem concerns the brakes,
yeah,
which are fairly new. When I step on the brakes, I get a chattering through the pedal. It just feels like I'm running over railroad tracks.
Right.
The whole car kind of chatters.
And it's pushing back on your feet. Bup, 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 bup.
Yes, exactly. When I slow down, the rapidity of that bup, 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 bup slows down with me.
Yeah. Of course, sure.
And it does affect the steering wheel somewhat, but the main effect is in the brakes.
And right. When did you have these brakes replaced?
About 6 months ago.
Did you do all four wheels when they did the job? Did they do brakes on all four wheels?
Yes.
Okay, we have a special at the garage now. We have a three-wheel special.
Yeah. No one's taking us up on it.
No, not yet, but you never know. Things like
you never
this.
Know. They, someone's going to come
it
up.
It takes a while for stuff like this to catch on, you know.
Yeah.
But if they...
Yeah, they didn't do the spare, though.
They didn't do the spare.
Four. No.
There you go.
Well, if they did all four, then it's almost certainly a problem they're going to have to acknowledge and make good on. And you have a warped disc rotor.
That's what it sounds like to me. I was thinking it sounds like the discs are warped. I'm thinking of the old LP records, you know,
yeah.
The 33.
How would sure. make the needle
exactly
go up and down.
Exactly right.
Put them out in the sun and they get that wavy.
Exactly right. So we used to, when our LPs got warped, we used to put them in the oven. Did you ever do that? You had to have just
no,
the right temperature.
No,
if it was
no.
a little bit too hot, they would droop down. And it was a mess. But just the right temperature
yeah.
would flatten out an LP. But nothing's going to flatten this disc.
No.
Well, they may, from time to time, when we have this problem at the shop, we will take the calipers off and we will machine the discs on the car. Okay,
uh-huh.
the new discs. And, of course, uh-huh. that trues them up again, and you get the added advantage of finding out which one was warped. It may be one or it may be two. It's unlikely it's all three or four. So at this point, I would take it back to them, ask them to figure out what it is. They may decide to just replace the rotors, send them back as defective, and give you brand new ones. Was this done at the dealership, this job?
No, it was not. It was done at a Mercedes specialist, though.
Oh.
That's really very, very good.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he's probably buying aftermarket rotors, which most shops are buying these days. because they're a heck of a lot cheaper in a lot of cases than the factory rotors. So he may not, while he may specialize in Mercedes for stuff like brakes, most of the aftermarket rotors are just fine. But every once in a while you get one that, you know, the iron wasn't cured correctly or seasoned properly, and it'll warp even after they machine it. So I would take it back, and they'll fix it for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck, Brooks.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Cindy Lou calling from Tofty, Minnesota.
Where?
Tofty.
Tofty. It's a little commercial fishing village. You know, it was founded by Norwegian bachelor farmers and fishermen way back in the day.
And you know what Tofty means in Norwegian?
No.
Frosted shorts.
I'm sure it does.
Anyway, Cindy Lou, what can we do for you?
Well, I live and work remotely. I live way back in the woods, and my work vehicle is a 2003 three-quarter ton Chevy pickup, and it has mounted on the front in the wintertime a Boss V plow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we live so remotely, we actually own a cabin in town, you know, to cut down on the driving time for the kids, you know, during mm-hmm. the school year and whatnot. And so, unfortunately, this cabin also has a driveway that needs plowing. So my problem, and it's also a safety issue and a marital dispute,
yeah.
is that when I drive into town to plow the driveway, I need to drive with the plow tucked back in its V position on the front of the truck, you know, like a cow catcher on the
gotcha.
Front of the train.
Yeah.
But by the time I get down the trail to the highway, the engine is already overheating.
Mm.
But that isn't even my problem. I've learned to live with that and get around that by opening up one side of the plow to allow air to circulate behind it. And that works great. It keeps it cool. But here is the dispute. I need to know which is the safest way to have the plow pointing when I'm driving down the highway at like 60 miles an hour. Should the plow be pointing toward the shoulder of the road, or should the plow be pointing toward the center of the road, just in case, for some odd reason, the hydraulics fail or the dog bumps and sits down on the controls and the plow should come slamming down to the ground?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Okay, Cindy Lou, thanks for calling.
It gets better.
No, we're going to answer all of your questions. But first, you have to answer.
Well, I define answer.
No, we will give you an answer to all of your questions, we think. We will give you an answer. We'll give you many answers.
I don't think so.
And you can choose.
Okay, here's my reason why I think that this could happen. It's because it's happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
In a former vehicle, it was a 1976 International Travel Wall with the plow on it. And we were coming home from a date in that lovely rig, and the plow actually broke and fell down on the ground. But
yeah.
it was pointing forward, so we just screeched to a, you know, heart attack braking stop. And so I'm just worried that this is going to happen again. And, of course, the direction I'm choosing will have me, you know, harmlessly, maybe spectacularly, going into the ditch while my boyfriend says, oh, no, I'm going to careen across the center line into oncoming traffic and get flattened by a semi. And so he has garnished support for his theory by talking to the plow guy who put the plow on and the county plow driver. Meanwhile, I've gotten support from a girlfriend who's an engineer. So now it's not only a marital dispute, it's also a battle of the sexes, and the county's reputation is on the line.
So you have to give me the right answer. Wait a minute now.
This
take a breath.
This girlfriend is an engineer?
Yeah.
What kind of engineer?
Well, I don't know what kind of an engineer. She just
no,
threw that
no,
title
I mean,
out
no,
there.
You can't, you know, you can't.
You can't just be an engineer and know about everything.
Yeah, maybe she's a nuclear engineer.
What does she know?
She knows a lot. She's really smart.
And let me get this right. This kind of plow.
Yeah.
Is this a cow catcher style? This is a V plow.
Yeah.
So your idea is that you can change the orientation of either one of these pieces of the V.
Correct.
You can open. In fact, you can open it right up.
Yep.
How far open can you make it?
Well, I can open it so it's a reverse V going the other way, but that's...
You wouldn't want to do that.
No, that's pretty dumb.
So now, you've alluded to a marital dispute and the boyfriend. Is there a husband and a boyfriend are they one and the same?
They're one and the same because all the gals in my neck of the woods, we always call the guys that we're married to not our husbands because that's sort of boring. We call them our boyfriends or our dates, which just still implies fun all the time, even if it's not. So I am married to him, but he is my boyfriend.
Well, that's good in case you make a slip-up. Say, I'm going out with my boyfriend tonight. Could be either one.
Very good of you to catch that, though.
Yeah. Oh, I caught it also. It was very awesome. obvious.
So what do the county guys say? What do they say you want for the piece on the right hand side? How do they want to orient that?
I have it pointing toward the ditch so that I'll follow it into the ditch. And they say, no, if it's pointing toward the ditch, you're going to shoot off in the opposite direction and go into the center.
Oh.
So they think I should have it pointing toward the center of the road, and then I will shoot off and go into the ditch. But think about it. When you plow, you put the plow down, and you go the way the plow goes.
No, you steer the vehicle. You don't always go the way that. No, you go the way that. How many miles of plowing have you done, Cindy Lou?
Me? Well, I just do this driveway. My boyfriend does all around the buildings up here at our business.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I mean, the driveway's not very long.
Well, you're not likely to encounter too many ditches on your driveway. I think I'd stick with the county guys.
Oh, no, I was not prepared for you.
I know you weren't prepared, but... But I feel strongly that they have unfortunately, many, many miles of experience. And they've learned because they've tried it every which way.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, and they've gone into the woods, and they've gone into oncoming traffic. And
yeah.
And they've probably chucked some bucks, too.
And they've probably chucked a few bucks or bucked a few chucks. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with the county guys.
Oh, there's going to be no living with these guys.
I know. You might have to move.
Exactly. Thanks a lot.
All right, Cindy Lou. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Cavs of Belleville Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Chevy Chase, Booyah Base, Mayonnaise, Lamb Chop Brace, Powdered Mace, Tarte d'Alsace, and Creme Inglaise, and Open Face, Happy Place is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our staff prestidigitator is old Luke Adair. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our bad joke interpreter is Nadia Get It. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the migratory visiting lecturers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Yes, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 842, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week, if you have a question that didn't get answered today, you can always check out our online Car Talk community. It's patrolled by helpful amateurs who often know the answers to people's car questions.
And what's the basic difference between them and us?
Like I said, they often know the answers to people's car questions. Check out the Car Talk community. Always available over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's corporate bonds get downgraded from junk to jalopy status whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.